This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation. Time flies when we're having fun and eating good here at Shell Shack in Mesquite. Come on by. Delicious food and beverage awaits you. Get entered to win dinner for four worth up to $100. We are at 1335 North Peachtree Road, shellshack.com, open till 2 a.m. And the live crawfish is back, as Brian can tell you all about. They knock it out of the park here at Shell Shack. Time now for our Zach Woolchuk's Chuck Wagon.
Let's do it. Let's hit the wagon. And I do want to encourage everybody, 877-881-1053. Go ahead and bid to come hang out with us at our table, the Sandlot Charity, at the home of your 2023 World Series champion, Texas Rangers. It's going to be this Sunday. So you can hit up Eric, Gavin, myself, Brian, Lucius on Twitter, wherever. Reach out, be like, hey, I want to bid on the table. The minimum bid is $1,500. It is helping a great cause. We'll have Jared on the show tomorrow at about 4:40-ish. He'll tell you more about it. But big news in Rangerland, as they have added a new catcher, as it is Kyle Higashioka, who was really good for the Padres last year. Hit three homers in their seven postseason games, a big one in a victory over the Dodgers. He turned 35. He will turn 35 in April. Just hit a career-high 17 home runs for the Padres, his fourth consecutive season with at least 10 homers, despite never having more than 263 plate appearances in a season. Now he gives the Rangers a right-handed power bat behind the plate. Of course, Jonah is a switch hitter, but a big improvement against left-handed pitching. Higashioka, 742 on base plus slugging percentage against lefties. Jonah was at 680. And if you look at the upgrade over Carson Kelly, whom is also a free agent, last year, Carson Kelly, when you look at home runs per at bat, 31.2 at bats for Carson Kelly to get a home run. Higashioka averages a homer every 14 and a half at bats.
Ooh.
So that is drastic. And defensively, they graded out about the same. So this is a big improvement. And I know the front office today, during the media portion, when they announced the signing of Higashioka, said that this will be a split catching position. This is going to be equal playing time.
Okay.
Him and Jonah. It's a 2-year contract for $12.5 million, mutual option for 2027. Rangers will pay Higashioka $5.75 this year, $6.75 next year, option for the third year, $7 million with a $1 million buyout. So, look, Jonah Heim, I'll say it. I think he was overused the 3 years prior to this year, and you finally saw a big decline in production.
It's just a real Jonah. Fatigue and
yeah.
Burnout.
I mean, it's a grueling position that he's playing, and they really just didn't have anybody else to be able to spare him. And now you've got two legitimate catchers. Both have offensive power. Hell, Higashioka might end up being a better offensive player than what you had with Jonah. So I love the move. It's their first big signing of the offseason, and this was one that certainly was a position of need.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Young made it clear they were going to look for catching help. They've got it here with Kyle Higashioka.
Sorry, I had to jump on a call right there with my
Everything
parents
okay?
real quick. Everything's
What's
good.
The update?
Everything is good. Home, sleeping, you know, got to go back to the doctor tomorrow. So this is an upgrade over Heim and cheaper?
It's an upgrade over Carson Kelly. And okay. I do think potentially he could end up being a better offensive player than Jonah. Yes. Okay. I think Jonah's still a better defensive catcher, in my opinion. He's a Gold Glover.
But you move him back to like 90 or 100 games,
yeah,
or something?
But now you're able to keep both guys fresh.
I love it.
Heck, maybe you could even DH one of them if you wanted to while the other one gets off his feet and doesn't have to catch.
Yeah.
Way to go,
CY. Man, I think if you gave me – I mean, it's in my top three – Ranger Christmas wishes is just Jonah Heim returning to the super beast that he was the previous year on the championship run, because my goodness, dude, what a difference that makes to have him batting towards the end of the lineup and the way that he was swinging it. And then, of course, as you mentioned, just the Gold Glove dominance from back there. Like, if you could just snap your fingers and just get anything to get back to what it was, that would be close to the top of the list.
I remember the excitement of the potential for a home run. I mean, he was on fire.
Yes, dude. Like clutch ones,
the clutch ones, the walk-offs.
Yes.
It seemed like every time there was a walk-off homer, it was Jonah.
Gosh, man, that was fun. Maybe he needs to bring the hair back? I don't know. I'm just spitballing.
A little bit. Yeah, maybe grow that back a little bit. That'd be good. Him and Doley getting back to form. Those would probably be the two.
Doley.
And then maybe you bring back Evaldi.
Yeah, Evaldi being nasty.
Round out the three.
Yeah, I mean, Simeon getting back to any level of consistency there. That's going to be an interesting one from a lineup standpoint, but... Oof. Yeah, there's a handful of them, but Jonah's right up there.
There's your DH, I think.
Yeah, that very well could be. Now, I know K&C teased this during our crosstalk. We've got the long-awaited Texas Rangers World Series doc that's going to be on Amazon Prime. You can pre-order it right now. I believe it's $13. You can also order it to have on Blu-ray on December 17th for $26.15. But this will be available on Monday, the release date at 11 p.m. So that's where you'll be able to watch the doc on Amazon Prime. It's going to be awesome. Obviously, it follows the Rangers franchise history. First ever World Series, 11-0 in the postseason, road record. And, of course, the clincher in Game 5 in Arizona. Corey Seager, Adolis Garcia, Nathan Eovaldi pitching that phenomenal Game 5 that we'll always remember. So that'll be pretty cool to have a piece of Rangers history there forever.
Anything from the parade? Because I can't remember a damn thing.
I wonder if they'll have some
parade shots. Maybe I can, like, go back and
you had enough parade shots,
Maybe they took some of our audio, some of our Margarita Brian audio.
That was...
Or Mardi Gras Brian.
Yeah, I need to go back and see the highlights of that, because that was a blur.
That was one of your all-time performances. Of course you want to sit down and relive that.
I'm kind
of
looking forward to Stars Championship.
You're going to lose a tooth that day.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You should.
I might show up in full hockey gear.
Goalie gear? Can we get you in goalie gear?
Ice skates? No ice skates.
You can't have ice skates, can you? Can you have rollerblades?
Rollerblades. There you go. That's the move.
Rollerblade?
That's it.
Well, Chuck, I'm stewing over here a little bit.
What's wrong?
And I'm fighting off this take that Rangers fans need to say no to Ray. You know?
Ooh.
This is him dipping back into your pocket after going cheapskate Ray on us. You see how the top 10 markets compete financially, Ray?
Yeah.
You're coming back here for $27.
I thought you had something against Blu-ray. That's what I was worried about. Like, Dawson's like going, hey, listen, Blu-ray, poor technology.
Oh, I mean, and who holds a DVD, right?
Yeah,
I guess.
Put it on the internet.
I guess nobody's really using the Blu-ray stuff anymore.
No, that I think is just to have the hardback box that can now sit up somewhere. And I don't know that you're really punching that thing into the Blu-ray
player.
Once
you become a billionaire, like, pinching pennies makes you a Scrooge. You know, trying to tap into what your fan base. I mean, he's probably going to make a half mil from this.
Oh, I bet he's going to get it.
And he's going to love it.
Yeah, he's
You know, it's going to be the merriest Christmas ever.
Bah humbug.
Look at all this money I'm making off this team. They're still paying me for the World Series.
We're going to be watching Evaldi go sign with the Orioles.
Dawson's getting all his shots in before we go to the toy drive next week at the ballpark.
Singing like, praise, praises.
I'm so happy.
Thank you, CY.
We love you, CY.
Working through a lot of challenges.
Well, by the way, Dutch was trying to go ahead and say, hey, Frankie Montas, maybe he can be a Ranger pitcher next year. Well, he's signed with the Mets, 2-year deal, $34 million contract. Apparently, Mets aren't done shopping for arms. They might be looking at Walker Buehler as well.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is a market you're now with. I mean, the Blue Jays are expected to be the highest bidder for Juan Soto in free agency, and you just had the Red Sox go ahead and give Aroldis Chapman, part of that World Series squad of the Rangers, a nice $10-plus million one-year deal. So all these teams are out here. I mean, they're trying to improve. Yankees are out there as well, trying to bring back Juan Soto. They're probably going to be looking at guys like Walker Buehler. But if you want to contend in the American League, there's a reason you finally won a World Series after you paid $500 million to go get Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. You got to float the money out there.
Yeah, money's a big part of it. You know, it's really starting to feel like that lost time around the Rangers from 2016 to 2022, where you'd sit around twiddling your thumbs, and then they drop like Ian Desmond on you right before spring training. Here you go, guys.
Man, that is a great pull right there. Although Ian was pretty good for a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
you're
no
right.
Disrespect to him.
No,
right? Nice piece.
That was the stuff like we're trying to get ourselves excited now.
Yeah.
Oh, they signed Ian Desmond. Hell yeah. But realistically, you're not competing for the postseason.
Hey, Wolchek, did you talk about Israel Abanikanda getting Abanikanda?
I don't think on the show. I put it out there on the Twitter world where released him.
Well, the Niners have claimed him.
Already?
Yeah, and they've got Christian. Yeah, they put Christian McCaffrey's on the deal. So
yeah, he's on IR. So is Jordan Mason. So they definitely had a need for running back. But my God, the Niners already claimed Abanikanda? Are you joking?
And the 49ers, I think, behind you in claiming order, by the way.
So the Cowboys must not have put in a claim. We like our guys.
We like our guys.
We like our guys.
What do you guys think about this golden at-bat rule? So this is something Rod Manfred has been pitching, and he's starting to gain some steam.
I thought this was a ball sacking yesterday. Hey. After the show, when I was perusing through Twitter and I saw this, I was like,
is this a banana
hammock deal? I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm going to move past this. And then it was everywhere, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
It's real. Yeah.
This is real.
No, I had to fact check it. Like, the Athletics got a piece, Sports Illustrated got a piece, MLB Networks ran. So it's legit.
Oh, no, it's real.
So a team can choose one at-bat in every game to send its best hitter to the plate, even if it wasn't that guy's turn to hit. That's the golden at-bat concept in a nutshell. So say there's two outs in the 10th inning, playoff game. Yankees and Guardians are tied. Okay, but in this alternate universe, it's not Juan Soto who's due up. It's, say, like Oswaldo Cabrera. All right, except the Yankees say, no, we want to put Juan Soto up. You're now allowed to by we're calling on the golden at-bat rule here. So Rangers are in a situation, similar deal. Two outs, bottom of the ninth. You've got
Janko.
Yeah, Janko's out. Well, Janko.
El Blondie, I might trust at the plate.
I might too, but that's a good example, right?
Yeah.
I got Robbie Gross.
What just happened?
Poor I threw Janko. A guy Janko under the bus unnecessarily.
Janko, one of our best interviews ever. Dawson immediately walks him to the front.
Well, he's a platoon guy, so I don't think that was a bad pull.
He won opening day against the Cubs with a home run.
He did. Let's go.
He's golden bat material.
It's a World Series damn champion you're talking about right there.
I'll throw out another World Series damn champion, but Robbie Grossman. All right, we were like, do we really want Robbie Grossman against lefties, or do we want to have
Tavares?
Leody. That's a damn good one. Leody Tavares. We're calling on the golden at bat.
These dudes are all champions.
Golden at bat rule, Corey Seager, we want you up. What do we think about this? I know the old crusties are going to say, screw this rule.
Yeah, Dutch and Baskey and
they're not gonna
those
like
alike
this.
Were but, hammering
well, pitchers
this.
Hate this. They don't want to face a good dude.
Yeah, like Roger Clemens already saw quoting this. He's like, okay, so you're telling me, let's say bases are loaded, no outs, Ohtani's up. I strike him out. They can use this golden at bat rule to say, no, Ohtani, you go. So you stay out there. I want you to go again.
Well, maybe
now I got to get him out twice.
Maybe you can't do the double dip like that.
That's good stipulation.
You know, maybe you could throw that curveball in there. Now what do you have to say, Roger? Because I can pull you off the mound anytime I want and put another pitcher in there
rule?
For the most part. I mean, I know they've tweaked that a little bit. But
okay, how about this rule? You're Roger Clemens. You strike out Ohtani. He's out. But they can bring it back for golden bat. You automatically get an out if you want to go back-to-back with him.
Okay.
You have to give up an out. Okay, you want to go back-to-back with him.
Right.
Two outs with him at the plate.
Yeah.
What if he gets a hit? Can you throw a ghostie out there and put him back up at the dish?
No. One time.
Yeah.
Do you like my rule?
I don't mind.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
I don't even drink as much as Rob Manfred.
You're close.
All right. I didn't mean to say that, by the way.
The Dodgers on a World Series
victory.
So I like this one.
Thanks, Chevrolet.
Dude, I love this. Okay, thank you, Wolchek.
This is terrible. Like, you need ways to try and create entertainment. And there's too much when it comes to the ratings of this sport. All rules are kind of just shot down. And now Rob Manfred, and I've got issues with Rob. But I don't think looking at ways to improve this and making the game more entertaining are bad. And I think this is one that could be fun, and we could end up enjoying.
This is one of the things we talk about all the time with baseball. It's like one of the problems is you only get to see the best guy. Unless it's a pitcher, you're only seeing him four times, you know, on a good night, five times in a night. Whereas in basketball or in football, you're watching the best players all the time. Like, and this doesn't even switch it to where, oh my gosh, we've just revamped our lineup, and anytime you want, you could basically just go Ohtani, 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 Ohtani throughout your lineup. This is one at bat, and it's only really a conversation in the very close games.
Right.
Like Bassick's trying to make the argument of like, okay, what if this was football? And at the end of the game, you're up by two scores, but the team that's losing always gets a chance to, with one touchdown from the 25-yard line, tie the game. That is not – we're talking about a one-score game. We're not saying Ohtani can – his team can be down by seven, and his one home run now gets to make up for all seven of those points. So Bassick was trying to do this thing where he's going apples to apples, and it couldn't have been less apples to apples. So this is one. This is like saying at the end of the game, the Steelers can't go to Justin Fields to run for the first down to ice it out.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean,
we're not talking about one home run counting for making up for a 10-point deficit at the end of the game.
It's a one-time deal. You're able to use this, and
the bat has to be actually golden. That would be one of the things I throw in.
I would
there.
Like a gold.
We
bat
do have
as well.
A special bat. We're gonna. It's gonna be. It's gonna be.
It's made of gold.
It's gonna be bells and whistles.
Gold.
I
do
guess.
Do we walk it out like the Fat Boy?
Yes. This is a. This is a thing.
Like
pageantry.
Like, do we play the trumpet thing like the Mets do?
Something of that. Yeah.
Something like that.
Each team adopts their own little ceremonial walking out of the golden bat. Like, I think that'd be a fun deal.
You could have a little video of Ray Davis stacking his gold coins one on top of each other.
Or him rolling around in it. Yes. Keep going after him. Keep going after him. I love it.
No, but I think it should be all about entertainment for baseball.
Like, the ratings are down. The interest level is down. I'm sorry, you baseball purists out there that don't want to change anything. Scrooge McDuff in the 903 that's texting in right now. You need to help your sport.
That's Ray Davis. Be nice to Ray.
You want these young kids wanting to play baseball when they grow up and make the major leagues? Add some more intrigue.
Ray's
right
probably
now,
worried.
It's not looking good.
Ray doesn't want the have to negotiate with the agent of the golden bat player. Oh, my player's golden bat. Yeah, that's going to be a 20% increase on the salary.
We're going to keep stats on the golden bat, dude.
Absolutely.
Golden bat stats?
There'll be debates who should be the golden bat guy.
Like, someday, like, when Bennett's doing the show one day and he's like, talking about, who's the all-time great golden bat player you ever saw?
I think so.
Yeah. Like, somebody 20 years from now.
That's the clutch gene, dude.
And we've changed enough. They changed the shift rules. They changed the 10th inning rules. We're speeding pitchers up.
Ghost,
all these things. And they were like, runner, we can't do it.
The ghost runners, come on now. Get that crap out of the game.
I kind of like it because the game speeds along.
You can,
I know, but when you get a 2:00 start and you have the potential of that game going to 6:30, it is kind of nice, Brian.
Dawson,
Brian, speak for
yourself. Damn it!
Turn his mic off.
817 just called us the R word. The 682 said dumbest rule change I've ever heard of. Beyond
we got
stupid.
Called the R word.
Go F yourselves.
Wow.
The baseball traditionalists. I do think, like, the big picture. I guess, like, the the numbers.
Not up the golden shower joke was funny.
There was a golden shower joke?
Yeah.
Who made that?
Do they get a golden shower after the golden at bat? I mean, it's up to them.
Well, I mean, think about it. The Yankees had their golden thong, and look what it did for them over the years.
Amen.
It could be a bit of a slump buster. This might be, I mean, strategically, you know, you'll see different ways of going about it. This might be your way to get a guy out of a slump. Hey, I'm not going to Seager right now. Watch my guy step up here. And watch what this golden bat does for the rest of our season.
All of you texting in that this rule's stupid.
Stupid.
If they call on the golden at bat, you're telling me you're not going to get a little tingly fixation in your downstairs mix-up.
Thank you.
We're leaving before that happens.
You.
Well,
you know,
Chuck, get ready. We're walking. As soon as they say golden bat, I'm standing up and going out. All right.
It's the ninth inning. They haven't come back all year.
This golden bat thing. He's 0-for-3. He's in the golden bat guy. Let's leave. There it goes.
We're live at Shell Shack in Mesquite.
Jimmy,
you're
Jack.
Not dreaming.
About to hit the halfway point. Hope you can join us for some dinner.
Chuck's choking me at the door. Damn you! My arms are just flailing. Seager's up again. It's the golden at bat.
That's a warranted homicide right there.
My credentials just flopping around.
Oh, God.
Wolchuk is up again as well. You got the golden segment.
somebody else to the top 10 craziest sports brawls ever in honor of what went down on the college football Saturday.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, that's next.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Live Shell Shack here in Mesquite, Peachtree Road, right off of 635. And it's time for Woolchuk's Top 10 here at 420. Come on by. Amazing food here at Shell Shack, if you've been to any of their DFW locations, you know. And everybody that enters the establishment between now and 7 o'clock will be entered to win dinner for four up to $100 here at Shell Shack. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214-817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Here he is, Zach with an H. Your Woolly Bull.
Thank you very much, General. Top 10 craziest sports brawls in the history of sports. 877-881-1053. Big happy birthday shout out to our guy Eric, who has come out here to see us here at Shell Shack. Make sure you get out to Mesquite. Happy birthday to my mother-in-law as well. I'm sure there's going to be a party going on at my house when I get home after the show.
I'm sure they'll leave you like a croissant or something.
That's why I just downed all the grilled delicious shrimp. I wanted to make sure I had my meal for the day. So
there
I'm good
you go.
To go. I mean, those that men's tea's got me covered right now.
Ooh,
I'm feeling good.
Appetite,
good.
Baby.
Oh, things are happening. I do think a sports brawl might happen after our conversation. The text is lighting up. They are ticked off. The baseball purists.
We like the Golden Bat.
Like
relax.
Tim and Carthage are like, this is terrible for the game.
Oh, Tim didn't like it?
No.
He's an old crusty dog,
he's
man.
A crusty
just,
guy that
okay,
I love.
Here's what we do.
Why don't we just put a T out there, hit off the T?
That'd be a good idea, too.
I mean, you
I'd
don't have to
that.
Exaggerate, make things up to try to win an argument. Imagine that it's day one of baseball. We've just invented this game. We were looking at cricket across the pond. We're like, man, what if we did it but better? Mm-hmm. Right? And then after all the rules were established, somebody suggested, how about the Golden Bat? And now you go back to the 1800s, and we've had Golden Bat the whole time. It's kick-ass. Okay?
I think it's
relax,
fun.
Crusties.
It's just one time a game, all right? This isn't like we're going crazy and changing all of baseball.
Brian, we need you to talk to your guys.
Yeah. I'm all about it. We'll get it done.
I'm just here for best on best. Like, did we not love in the World Baseball Classic when it was Ohtani versus Mike Trout?
Yeah.
Now you might be guaranteed to get that in a certain situation in a game.
Broadus, you should reach out to your GM buddy and see what he thinks about it. See
you
if
know,
he,
I asked him about the catcher.
Oh, you got the scouting report?
Yeah, I got a scouting report already. Great clubhouse guy.
Nice.
Frames very well. Can swing it a little bit. Overpriced, but nice complimentary piece.
There you go.
That's it. So my guy's going to be in town next week, by the way, for the
toy drive?
The meetings. Baseball
oh,
meetings.
Yeah, the meetings are here.
Oh, oh.
Yeah, we got baseball meetings.
I think
so
KNC is a baseball show of record with Mike Bassick, who picked the Rangers to lose every single series during the playoffs in 2023, yet somehow got to be in the parade and is supposedly the voice of record for some baseball listeners out here. They're going to be out there, I think, at the winter meetings.
Going after Bassick.
Shots fired.
Bang, bang. You know, what if you had a poo bat designation as well? There's one hitter you could eliminate from the lineup altogether.
Ooh.
No.
Now pitcher, we're on to something.
Pitcher gets to pick poo bat.
Yeah.
Like, things are sitting over the dugout, and then you
please
get to pick.
And
his team starting pitcher, this guy hitting for me today.
But 6'8", yes. I mean, I can speak for myself. I am a dummy by default. I get where you're coming from. If you don't like it, I don't know that this is even going to happen, okay? But just for conversation's sake, I thought it was a fun idea.
I mean, they let the Astros steal a World Series. Anything could happen in Rob Manfred's watch.
Yeah, I mean, he thinks it's just a piece of metal. Anyway, so that dude can go bleep himself. All right, let's get to the top 10 craziest sports brawls ever. Already got quite a few good texts. Malice at the Palace. That's got to be number one.
Yeah, or Nickel Beer Night, right?
That was 1973,
ooh,
I believe.
Yeah, Nickel Beer
Night.
Yeah,
that was in Cleveland. That was a riot.
What's the best brawl the Cowboys have ever been in? Do we have any?
The T.O. at the middle
George
of the star.
Teague, yes.
I don't know if it was a brawl, but there was some good when Teague tackled Owens in the star. That kind of was
there was
pretty
some
good
fun there.
Yeah, it was.
Did anything actually ever happen from the the Bounty Gate stuff with the Eagles?
Oh,
when they were headhunting.
I'm trying to remember that one. Yeah,
I don't know if, like, actual fights.
Zendejas and Troy and all that.
Yeah. A pregame, I think it was the 93 NFC Championship at Texas Stadium, after Jimmy had said, you can put it in bold letters, we will win the ball game. The 49ers came out, and they got after it.
Okay.
Pregame. That was fun. But, yeah, the Cowboys haven't been in a time. I mean, I know we were calling for, and after Andy Dalton got basically deceased and then was revived against Washington, and no offensive lineman came to his defense.
Jim Maurer went out there with a spatula to get him up off the field.
Literally. Yeah. And we wanted that. We wanted somebody to get – Brock Hoffman, if he had been on the team then, he'd have fought somebody.
Was there a brawl when Andre Girard got stomped in the face?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember, obviously, the stomp. I don't know if I remember what ensued after that, because I can imagine people having some fear of Albert Haynesworth. And being like, whoa, dude.
Yeah.
Why did you do that, bro? why'd you have to do that?
Not cool, man.
Albert, with his helmet, was off, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. I mean, that is, wow, we don't talk about that enough.
No, it's terrible.
That is, oh, my gosh.
Well, the best part was.
He was still out. Was he even suspended as much as Al Shaier was?
Honestly, I don't think so.
I don't know.
But then he gets the $100 million bag from Dan Snyder in Washington.
Washington sucked.
Like, I think he might have played four games. It was bad.
All-time finesser on that one.
Talk about the weight stuff with him. Yeah. We were talking about Charles Barkley and fat shaming.
Oh, he's big time.
Albert deserved the fat shaming.
He could put it down.
That I wouldn't defend.
That was at the time an unprecedented five-game suspension.
I think it's
probably a ban in today's climate.
Yeah, we can't do that. Number 10, we've got the Colorado Avalanche and Detroit Red Wings. We go to hockey, 1997. The Red Wings were furious because of an incident the year before in the playoffs. It was Claude Lemieux. That prompted a brawl. This is nicknamed Bloody Wednesday. Game featured a total of 9 fights, most memorable of which was the one-on-one between the goalies. It was Patrick Waugh and Red Wings goalie Mike Vernon, who traded
little Mike Vernon fought?
Ice. Yeah, he did. And anytime you get a goalie fight, that's going to have to make the top 10.
They hate the goalie fight, by the way.
I love it. I know.
No, the league hates the goalie fight.
It never happens.
They do hate the goalie fight.
They frown upon the goalie fight, but I am here for the goalie fight every once in a while when we get it.
Yeah.
Number 9 is, we go to 1984 Barcelona and Atletico Bilbao. I don't know that I've heard of this club, but 60 people get injured. There was a taunt going on. Diego Maradona gets snapped in the face by one of the Atletico players.
And he kicked the hell out of him.
He headbutted one of the other players and then attacked several others. So
yeah, he's a good fighter.
Both sides were kicking and punching each other. It was ultimately Maradona's last game at Barcelona. It
did not go well for him at Barcelona.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Georgetown and the Bayi Rockets in August of 2011. They were an 8-time Chinese Basketball Association champion. They played aggressively from the start against Georgetown. At the beginning of the fourth quarter, a series of multiple fouls sparked an all-out fight between the two sides, with fans even getting in on the action.
Let's go, Hoyas.
And the Bayi Rockets. Number 7 is the Knicks and the Nuggets in 2006. This is J.R. Smith instigated a full-scale brawl. There was initial pushing and shoving on both sides. J.R. Smith breaks free, charges at Nate Robinson, tackles him into the front row, and just when things were calming down, Carmelo gets confronted by Collins, punches him in the face. He gets knocked down. Then Collins chases Anthony down the court. Total damage, he had 7 players who were suspended for a combined 47 games after that melee. 03. You had the ALCS fight between the Red Sox and Yankees.
Oh, that was great.
Pedro, the fastball that hits.
Was that when Zimmer
Garcia got
knocked down?
I think so.
Yes, it was. Roger Clemens is involved in
it
this
one, like too.
It
looked like me in the Avis parking lot.
Man. Yeah, Don Zimmer gets thrown to the ground after going in at Martinez. That was really sad. It was like you in the Avis parking lot.
Yeah, it was
he
not
more
good.
Just got ushered to the ground. It's like, oh, hey.
It's like a bullfight, Matador.
His 72-year-old brittle body just falling there.
Hey, man, it hurts. He hit the grass. I wish I hit the grass.
Yeah,
not the concrete. Yeah.
The skid marks.
Yeah.
Number 5, Rangers and White Sox. That's Robin Ventura.
Oh, the bloody, yeah.
Nolan Ryan with the punch. That was epic. Number 4, Bruins and Rangers. 1979.
Whoa.
Boston and New York. This one escalated into a scary scene at the Garden. You had an angry Rangers fan assault Stan Jonathan of the Bruins, who rolled up. Some fans reached over the glass
got him
to punch Bruins players.
Yeah.
They responded by going into the stands.
They went in there. They went full. What's our slap shot?
Good Lord.
Our movie Slap Shot. They went up in the crowd after those dudes.
Mike Milbury of the
They
Bruins.
Went over the glass to get in the those. Yeah.
Impressive.
Remember 06, the Hurricanes and FIU going at it, the City Line series? This was where, like, players were fighting, helmets off. You had the state troopers had to come break up the fight. 31 players ended up being suspended from this one. That was bad.
Which one was this?
2006, FIU in Miami.
Yes, dude. I remember watching that live. I remember watching Brandon Merriweather, who was a solid safety.
Was that the game when Lamar Thomas was the color announcer in that game and was, like, encouraging them to, like, beat their ass?
I think he might have been.
He was, like, doing commentary, but he was, like, He was getting into it, loving it. He was egging them on.
He was the anti-Joe Buck.
Dude, yeah, this was, I mean, Brandon Merriweather stomping on dudes. Oh, helmets are coming off.
They were throwing helmets at each other. Number two is Canada versus the USSR, better known as the Punch-Up and Pakistani. 4-2 at the time. Canada was leading the Soviets. There was a legitimate shot at the winning junior gold medal. And the Soviets were already out of medal contention. They decided to issue a brawl here. By the time it was finally over, they had to cancel the game.
Beat them at something, guys.
Both teams out of the tournament. Number one, though, is the Malice of the Palace. Mm-hmm. Pistons and Pacers. We'll never forget that one.
Thank you, Woolchuck. We're live at Shell Shack in Mesquite off Peachtree Road. If you're getting off work, come join us. Let's have some fellowship here. 2 hours, 20 minutes of show to go, and you'll get entered to win dinner for four up to $100 value. Mark Schlereth is brought to you by Mayonnaise, and he's next in the nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. We are live at Shell Shack in Mesquite, and we'll be here until 7 o'clock. Come on by some unbelievably good food and beverage here. We're enjoying ourselves. And we're joined now by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. And a good afternoon, Mark. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We've had some fun debating the Al Shaair hit and the suspension. What's your read on all that?
Well, I mean, one, it's a designed run by the Jaguars. So once he exits the pocket, once he's outside the pocket, there is supposed to be no protection, right? Now, until you go down and slide. But these quarterbacks try to get an extra 2 or 3 yards. And Al Shaair is defending the first down. That was 2nd down and 7. And, I mean, once he commits to making a tackle to stop Trevor Lawrence from, you know, from getting the first down, then Trevor Lawrence slides. I just don't know how, as a defender, you're supposed to stop him. You're just supposed to get him, let him get the first down. And we see it on the sideline. Patrick Mahomes does it all the time, where he acts like he just step out of bounds and the defender starts to give up, and then he goes down the sideline for another 15 yards. At some point, as a coaching staff, you say, hey, man, the guy gets on the sideline, lambaste his ass, and we'll deal with the 15-yard penalty. But I just think the 3-game suspension, you know, is crazy. By the way, you know, and I've known John Runyon forever. John Runyon was one of the dirtiest players in football.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, and for him to levy out a 3-game suspension and then talk about the fight afterwards. Well, listen, man, I expect the Jacksonville Jaguars to protect their quarterback, right? I expect him to go after Al Shaair. But what's he supposed to do? Just let him? Like, is he supposed to just get beat up? So I think the whole thing is a joke. It's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate hit. He kept his head out of it. Now, the forearm did go to the neck area, but I just think it's one of those things that, you know, oftentimes is unavoidable. And one of the things I love about football, like the reason that most of you, and listen, I'm going to offend a lot of people right now, but the reason that most of you never played in the NFL is because most of you aren't athletic enough. I get that. That's a God-given ability. But most of you don't have balls enough to play in the NFL. And that's the reality of it. And there's a certain blood sport aspect to the game that I actually love. So, you know, I feel bad for him. He got suspended for 3 games. I don't think he should have. And I look at that hit and I'm like, wow, that's unfortunate. But, you know, I don't look at it like, hey, that's malicious and the guy's trying to end somebody's career. I think it's just stupid.
Stink, I was dead balls wrong so far on my evaluation of Bo Nix coming out of this draft. I got to talk about your Denver Broncos here. Bo Nix, that the throw that he had to Marvin Mims Jr. was unbelievable, but this team looks like they're playoff bound in year two under Sean Payton. He inherited already a great defense, but what he's done with this rookie quarterback, what is standing out to you? I mean, they seem like they're humming right now, and things are really good there at Mile High.
Yeah, well, I had several long conversations with Sean about Bo Nix coming out. And, you know, my evaluation, when I looked at all the quarterbacks in this league, and I didn't really spend any time at all looking at Caleb Williams coming out of college. I spent some time, but not much. Because, you know, it was a foregone conclusion. Everybody knew he was going to the Bears. But the two guys that I thought were the two best quarterbacks coming out were Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix. And, you know, when people talk about arm talent is such a stupid evaluator, you know, made up by people who don't really know what they're looking at. And because, like, at what point, you know how often you throw the ball 70 yards in the NFL? On some Hail Mary, and most guys can't throw it 70 yards, 65 yards. So it happens once or twice a year where you actually throw one 65 yards in the air. If you're throwing a go ball to a wide receiver in the National Football League, it comes off a five-step, no-hitch drop, and the ball comes down between 42 and 47 yards. So when everybody sits there and goes, wow, the arm talent, or he didn't have arm talent enough, that's such garbage. It's timing and it's accuracy. And if you're on time with the football, you're going to be accurate with the football. If you're not on time with the football, you cannot be accurate with the football. So the guy is super smart. He's incredibly athletic. And he puts the ball, you know, he's on target and on time. And, they're playing really good. They're playing really good football. They had a great draft. Everybody's contributing. And they got a bunch of young football players, a bunch of guys they drafted, a bunch of young guys that are really developing. And it's been fun to watch, man. It has been a lot of fun to watch.
When you were scouting him, did his ball stick out to you?
Did what now?
It's Mark Schlereth here with you in the G-Bag Nation. You just made the crack. Yeah.
He's all balls. Hey, I'm good with it.
There we go.
He's got the balls to play in the league.
Thank you for that response. I took a deep breath and asked the question. Mark Schlereth brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Stink, as a real football player, I don't know how much respect you have for kickers in general, but Justin Tucker of the Ravens is a bit of a legend, but they can't go into the postseason depending on him, right? I mean, how do you handle that?
If he was playing any other position, he'd have gotten cut.
Yeah.
He's on the Baltimore Ravens because his name is Justin Tucker. That's it. And by the way, listen, man, I have a ton of respect for what he has done. And I had great relationships with a bunch of the kickers that I played with. Chip Lowmiller in Washington, good buddy. You know, Jason Elam here in Denver, good buddy. But kickers are not supposed to, like, they're like kids in the 50s, to be seen and not heard. And when Justin Tucker is making fun of Russell Wilson on the airplane, what was that, a year ago?
Yeah.
Doing all the Let's Run stuff. Like, that's the kiss of death, man. You're a kicker. Dude, you are a kicker. Like, you're not allowed to make fun of the guys who actually play football. And he's legendary, man. The guy has been, you know, flat out the best kicker in football. He has missed 10 kicks, whether it's extra points or field goals. You know, they have lost 5 games by 22 points. In those 5 games, he's cost them 22 points. I'm not saying they would have won them all, but he has cost them games. And then you get to the playoffs where, hey, let's face it, you know, Lamar Jackson struggled in the playoffs. He hasn't been great in the playoffs. Now you're going to go in with Lamar Jackson and his playoff history and a kicker who is shanking kicks, shanking field goals, and shanking extra points. Like, I know that John Harbaugh says, man, he's our guy and we're not deviating. But if you play offensive line and you only block guys 50% of the time or 70% of the time, 60% of the time, whatever it is, dude, you get fired. You get cut. He's costing them games.
Hey, Stink, I'm going to let you kick me in the junk here when I ask you this question. And it's about the Cowboys with the offensive line. And the last 2 weeks, Zach Martin hasn't been at right guard. And they've won with Brock Hoffman and his spot. They run the ball better. Their protection has been better. How do you navigate that if you have a guy playing well, offense playing well, but it's Zach Martin, and how do you bring that back?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I don't know Hoffman. I know Zach Martin's been great.
Sure.
Sometimes it's the way you call a game.
Right.
And, you know, and sometimes, like, you look at the way they have played, you know, up until this point when they had all the injuries, they had to change the way they played. They had to change because they've got a backup quarterback yet. They had to change in that they have focused and allowed those guys to run the ball. They have given more carries to Dowdle. They have leaned into that. And you lean into that, that's a tool in your tool belt that, frankly, Zach Martin wasn't playing with. He didn't get that tool in the tool belt. And so, like, he's not the reason they weren't having success. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, he forgot how to play. It's that nobody was really having success because of the way the games had been being called. And the fact that the defense wasn't getting any stops and people were running through them like poop through a goose. So I think there's the just how things play out, how things break down in the way you call a game. They've called a game because of the injuries they've had. They've called a game that is more sustainable and has actually helped both the offense and the defense. And so, like, when Zach Martin comes back, he plays because he's
right.
Zach Martin.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, Mark, final question. Bengals, Cowboys, Monday night, we're kind of hoping they're putting it together enough. Is that wishful thinking, or how good of a shot do the Cowboys have of making this 3 in a row against Cincinnati?
Well, I think they have a great shot. I mean, Cincinnati, what are they playing for? Nothing. They can't, you know, they can't win. I think they've scored 33 points or more in 4 games that they've lost. Mm. You grasp that. 33 points or more in 4 games that they've lost. They can't stop anybody. And Joe Burrow is great. Chase, you know, and Jamar Chase is unbelievable. And I get all that, but man, defensively, they're just awful. So, you know, again, I always look at the formula that Dallas is playing with right now. Hey, run the ball. Attempts are important. Get your attempts. Keep Joe Burrow on the sideline, and you got a great shot. You got a great shot. They're playing much better on defense, and Michael Parsons is playing great. Hey, listen, this is the one thing I'll say about Dallas right now. You know, I turn on Giants tape, and you know, they have just, they're packed in. They're packed in. They're ready for Christmas. I turn on some other tape, and you're like, looking at teams going, really? Like, okay, you guys are pretty much done. Dallas Cowboys are playing hard right now. And that says something about Mike McCarthy, who, you know, is a lame duck coach. They're playing hard right now. They have not given up. So I commend them for that.
Thank you so much, sir. Enjoy your football week, and we'll catch up with you next Tuesday.
Sounds good, guys. Be well.
There he goes, Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. We got 3 down, 2 to go. We are live at Shell Shack in Mesquite, and they have some amazing shellfish and shell foods, obviously. But also you can get in to win dinner for 4, valued up to $100 just for setting foot in our establishment and fellowshipping with us and the other Tolos. Okay, in addition to the finest coming up next, Chief, where are you taking it?
We have epic stats of the day for you. I have a Cowboys tip of the cap and a fire-ass little banana thing. That's a direct quote.